This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, some national pollsters have noticed a slight dip in President Biden's approval rating in recent days. We'll talk about what the latest data says about where Wisconsin voters stand. Now, Sheboygan, Wisconsin is the bratwurst capital of the world because, of course, it is. But the bratwurst capital of America is a distinction that goes to another town, Bucyrus, Ohio. How is it possible to be the best in the world at something but not the best in the U.S.? To understand this paradox, you have to go back over 50 years. The story features a brat festival so rowdy it got banned, a county judge, and, of course, lots and lots of bratwurst. Dan Higgins is a food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He dug deep into the great brat debate. Dan, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me back.
All right, in this corner, we've got Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Can you talk about the origins of Sheboygan's celebration of its bratwurst dominance?
Sure. I think you could just say Johnsonville, right? And that should pretty much end the debate. I mean, they're kind of the ones that brought it to America. You know, they're the ones who brought it all the way across. But I mean, even long before that, there was a brat day that was, to celebrate Sheboygan's, the city's, founding 100th anniversary. It goes back to, 1952 and 53, and it went so well the first year. They kind of kept doing it. It kept growing, and then kind of got out of control. And they actually had a referendum to end it at one point in the late 1960s. There, in 1966, and then it kind of came back for a little while as a German festival through the 70s, and eventually kind of morphed back into the brat days that it is today. So that's kind of where the whole Sheboygan really got its start, with having a bratwurst festival. And I think, in terms of, sausage makers, there's just a lot of them. Beyond Johnsonville, there's, a lot. There were like something like 50 meat markets back in the 40s and 50s that would make bratwurst, along with lots of other, German sausages for people. So that's kind of Sheboygan's claim to it there.
But here we are. Here we are, though. Bratwurst, as you said, the bratwurst day in Sheboygan got too rowdy. It was on hiatus for a couple of years. And then looming, like a vulture, Bucyrus, Ohio. So what's their deal? Why do they claim to be a brat town?
They again, another community that happened to have in Ohio. They're kind of in northwestern-ish Ohio, and a community that happened to have a lot of German settlers. So they passed down, German recipes throughout, and that was like late 1800s or so, when a large contingent of German immigrants settled that area, passed down their bratwurst making through the years. And it's just kind of, they really didn't get a sausage maker on scale, something like Johnsonville that's gone national. But, they had a lot of pride, obviously. You always feel, like this is the way grandma made it or grandpa made it or whatever, So they decided late 60s there to have their own bratwurst festival. Whether they knew Sheboygans had gotten canceled or not, that's not clear. But so they fired one up, and happened to just kind of catch some national attention pretty early on in their second or third year there, caught and started to make some national news of having their German festival, which then got back to Sheboygan and sparked this little back and forth bratwurst delegates, shall we say, or ambassadors going back and forth between the cities in 1970 and 1971 to try and convince the other side that they should be the bratwurst capital, not the other person.
And a Wisconsin judge even got in the game with a non-official, non-binding proclamation from an actual judge. Yep. What happened?
Yep. Yeah. He wrote up, a judgment, what would be the cease and desist order, in essence, kind of, making the claim that, Sheboygan is the bratwurst capital. And then they took them three delegates, the mayor of Sheboygan, the president of the Sheboygan Press newspaper, and a member of the Sheboygan what's the word I'm looking for? Commerce, Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. They went off to Bucyrus to during their Broad Festival to deliver this in essence cease and desist order that was very not obviously legally binding by any stretch, and read that off. And they brought some bratwurst with them to try and convince the good folks of Ohio that Sheboygan has the superior bratwurst.
And so we end up Sheboygan being called the bratwurst capital of the world, but Bucyrus the bratwurst capital of America. Is that where things still stand today in their official or whatever semi-official designations?
Yeah, right. As official as any of this can be, right? And meanwhile, there's, how many towns in Germany, that would probably take issue with this. But I think that just kind of eventually, after they kind of had some fun with this back and forth and kind of taking shots at each other's bratwurst, Sheboygan accusing Bucyrus makers of stuffing theirs with sawdust and the Bucyrus contingent saying that the Sheboygan bratwurst are watered down. I think after that, they had their fun with it, the back and forth. Eventually it seems like that's just kind of way it settled in is, Bucyrus is claiming bratwurst capital of America and Sheboygan holding on to the world title, I guess.
Now, Sheboygan held its Bratwurst Fest earlier this month. Before I let you go, Dan, what do you put on your brat?
Maybe some mustard. Mm-hmm. That's usually about it for me.
Same.
But I don't, honestly, they don't, if it's a good bratwurst, it doesn't even need the mustard, really.
Dan, thanks a lot for sharing the story with us today.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
Dan Higgins is a food and drink reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He told us about the great 20th century bratwurst debate between Sheboygan and Bucyrus, Ohio. Right now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Today a story about guiding boats on Lake Michigan into safe harbor. Here's producer Steve Gotcher.
In The Lighthouse, a recent thriller by filmmaker Robert Eggers, solitude leads to madness for two lighthouse keepers. But solitude was rarely an issue at the range lights in Bailey's Harbor. WPR's Norman Gilliland brings us the story from eastern Door County.
In 1869, when the range lights were built, Bailey's Harbor was considered the only safe harbor north of Milwaukee. The town was a busy logging center, shipping cordwood and cedar posts, poles, and hemlock bark to other Great Lakes ports. Ed Miller shows people through the range lights. He wears the visored cap and double-breasted navy blue coat that were the garb of lighthouse keepers.
The last keeper here was Henry Gaddy. He was here 27 years, as long as his predecessors combined. When Henry arrived in Bailey's Harbor, he was single. He was considered a very eligible bachelor because he had a pay of about $600 a year, and he came with a house, so all the single girls in Bailey's Harbor were interested in Henry.
As for Henry, he did tie the knot and celebrated in a typical Wisconsin way.
There's a picture we have of Henry with about eight other gentlemen. They're all holding a mug of beer. Henry's in his lighthouse keeper's uniform, and the waiter's in a white uniform. They all have full mugs of beer, and the label on the bottle that the waiter's serving is Miller Beer. So it was Miller time in 1901.
Some things never change. Restorations of the lighthouse have turned up some surprises. Under the parlor floor, newspapers from 1944 and 1945 with screaming headlines and big photos of the late Franklin D. Roosevelt and his successor Harry Truman and Lauren Bacall.
We're going to head up the stairs that the lighthouse keeper would have went up many times, starting in the evening, throughout the night, and the following morning. First, he would light the lamp right before dusk, and then he would go up several times to adjust and trim the wick. Because if he didn't adjust the wick, he got a smoky flame, which sooted up his lens and reduced the light output of the lens. So lighthouse keepers got the nickname Wickies because they were always adjusting the wick. And then in the morning, he would extinguish the light right after the sun came up. And then by 10 o'clock, he had to have everything all polished up and ready to go for the next evening.
Now we get to the heart of the matter, a bright object about the size of a snare drum.
So in the lantern room, we're looking down the range light boardwalk at the front range light, and the original lens that was in the range light was a fifth order Fresnel lens, and it was such that it cast the light out about 6 or 7 miles out over the water. Today we have a modern lens. It's still lit, and it's an active aid to navigation. We're back on the lighthouse list in navigation charts as a useful lighthouse.
To get to the lower part of the range lights, you follow a 950-foot boardwalk toward the lake. Along the way, until the autumn snow falls, you'll see tamarack, wood lilies, yellow lady slippers, blue flag iris, and one or two shoots of asparagus gone wild. In 1930, the lamps were replaced by automated electric lights, and the keepers became a thing of the past. Although solitude was never an issue at the range lights of Bailey's Harbor, they were and are serious business on a lake that has swallowed boats for as long as there have been boats.
WPR's Norman Gilliland talked about the Bailey's Harbor range lights on the eastern coast of Door County. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Find more Wisconsin Life on wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Steve Gotcher.
Coming up, pollster Charles Franklin joins the show to talk about the latest data on what Wisconsin voters think of the 2020 election, vaccines, and more. That's next here on Central Time.